The first of the seven Unitarian Universalist principles calls us to affirm and promote the inherent worth and dignity of every person. This, along with the seventh, and of course the community, is what drew me to LUF. Now, personally, based on Buddhist principles, I have extended inherent worth and dignity to include every sentient being, not just every person. But I want to share a very short excerpt from a sermon by Reverend Odette Fulbright Folsom. Reverend Barbara Wells said that she believes our first and seventh principles are the pillars of Unitarian Universalism, and the other five rest on the strength of those two. Our first principle, among the very oldest declarations in our movement, states the inherent worth of dignity of every person, and the seventh is respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. Upon these two pillars, our individual worth and our collective awareness and intentions, the rest of our principles lay their weight. Now, this is a very grounded definition and useful, but I actually visualize the principles as an ever-expanding circle or sphere with worth and dignity at the core. And when I first encountered inherent worth and dignity, it certainly spoke to me as a gay person and continues to do so, while expanding out to include all of the inequities in the world. However, the persistent existence of evil behavior in the world can certainly cause us to question the meaning or the validity of inherent worth and dignity. And living up to this first principle is quite challenging. And we are faced certainly now with a chaotic world. Truth and Reconciliation, Black Lives Matter, white supremacy, opioid overdose deaths, violent misogyny, anti-LGBT hostility, human-induced climate change and destruction of nature, a global pandemic. And how do we reconcile inherent worth and dignity with all of this? Well, Reverend Victoria Weinstein, in her sermon, Practicing Inherent Worth and Dignity, Keeping It Real with the First Principle, offers a perspective that I think really makes sense to me. The inherent worth and dignity of every person. What do we mean by inherent? We mean that every person is born with a value to them, that each life matters, and that no one is born with more potential to inspire, heal, or harm the world than any other. Equal start, inherently God or nature given. As far as I'm concerned, this ties us together with the rest of the world's people, many of whom are treated as though they're dispensable, throwaway creatures. To embrace the first principle is a way of being in relationship with the world. As Reverend Sarah Lammert points out in her essay on the subject, it has been the tendency of some Unitarian Universalists to make this principle a celebration of individualism, and to use it to support, in her words, a defensive arrogance about our particular point of view. But that's a misunderstanding of the whole point of the thing, which is to draw us into a really humble awareness of those whose voices are not heard, whose presence has historically not been welcome, who are forgotten and devalued. When I think of this principle, I think of my favorite poem by Mary Oliver, where she says that she looks upon everything as a sisterhood and a brotherhood, and each life as a flower, and each name a comfortable music in the mouth, and each body a lion of courage and something precious to the earth. That's from her poem, When Death Comes. Each body a lion of courage and precious to the earth. Oh, isn't that something to live up to? My friends, as you well know by now, our society is set up in such a way as to dazzle our eyes with the illusion that some people are good and worthy, and others don't make it onto the list. Naively, we walk around actually thinking we know which is which. People who hear of our first principle ask me, well, what about Hitler? What about Idi Amin? How about Osama bin Laden? Did they have inherent worth and dignity? I know that longtime members at LUF will certainly remember Ken Morrison asking that very question. And I recall my own differences with Ken on that question as well. Now, today, I think we could very easily add Donald Trump to that list of names. But back to Reverend Weinstein. I answer that I believe that they, like every other person, were born with inherent innate value, and that they chose to violate the human covenant so egregiously that I consider them to have negative worth and no remaining dignity. To be a Unitarian Universalist does not mean that we are not allowed to make value judgments, or that we have to affirm the inherent worth and dignity of every idea or behavior. As my colleague Meg Barnhouse says in her wonderful South Carolina accent, I don't have to affirm the inherent worth and dignity of every idea, because some ideas are dumb. That may not have been a South Carolina accent, but I think the comment is. Evil and badness do exist. I don't know if they're genetically programmed or socially induced or brought about by frontal lobe damage or what. I just know, and so do you, that not all people have made good on that original worth they were born with. Not even necessarily when they're treated with respect. But why ask about Idi Amin when really our biggest struggle is with the obnoxious next-door neighbor, the teacher we think is being unfair to our child, the condescending co-worker who steals our ideas and takes credit for it, the family member who talks trash about us behind our backs, the caseworker who keeps losing our file? The challenge is there, isn't it? The challenge is navigating through the people we meet. The job applicant sitting in front of us with the broken teeth and the heroin tracks in her arms. The prisoner who wants to write to our mother. The immigrant who got the job your son wanted. The friend who keeps sending you those incendiary political emails that make your blood boil. What a challenge to be in the presence of that person and to remember that they are a lion of courage and precious to the earth. Not to be sentimental and gooey about that fact, but to live into what it demands of us. Humane presence, basic respect, nonviolence, and an audit of our own feelings of superiority. Some will be good, some will be bad. What they choose to do is their business. How I am present to them is mine. I'm not really that interested in whether or not Idi Amin, Osama bin Laden, or Hitler had inherent worth and dignity. They've done their damage, and we can't change them. We can only change ourselves and try to develop such a strong ethical heart that even if we were dying of hunger or thirst and everything we loved threatened with extinction, we would still not be attracted to their philosophies. To make our first principle into a spiritual practice, requires us to honestly acknowledge that we have been programmed by our society to treasure and cherish certain kinds of people over others, and to see only a select few as bearing as much worth, value, and dignity as we ourselves have. The rest, we have been trained by many forces to regard as other. We are either afraid of the other, or we feel superior to the other, or almost as bad, we have learned to feel a kind of privileged pity or charity toward those others. It's not enough for this religious tradition or any other to simply try to have the right virtuous thoughts and feelings. Something more is asked of us, and the name for that something more is love, that enormous, demanding, divine idea that asks us not only to feel virtuous things, but to shape our actions around those feelings. The poet Rilke says that human love consists in this, that two solitudes protect and touch and greet each other. Isn't that beautiful? That gives us a clear idea of what we are supposed to do, not just to feel. We are to protect and touch and greet each other. Now, the Hindus have a beautiful word for this idea. Namaste, they say. It means the divine in me greets the divine in you. The inherent worth and dignity in me greets the inherent worth and dignity in you, whoever you are. That's the essence of our first Unitarian Universalist principle. Now, I like to think that I try to live up to the first principle, but I fail frequently. This exploration of worth and dignity challenges me as much as anyone else, and I have to catch myself as I make judgments about others. I offer these words by Reverend Beth Ellen Cooper that remind us of our personal shortcomings, but that also offer us a reminder of our own inherent worth and dignity. She writes, "In some ways, our first principle, the inherent worth and dignity of all people, is the most widely known, most commonly invoked, and perhaps the most easily misused principle. It is also the one that has the most far-reaching theological implications. Every single human being on this planet, alive or dead, possesses some innate, essential virtue as part of their very humanity. If each of us have that spark, that essence, then how could we fail to recognize it in one another? We fail all the time. We fail in large ways. We torture, slaughter, oppress, dehumanize, and objectify each other. And while most of us might consider ourselves more compassionate than that, we all fail in small ways too. In these failings, we deny, ignore, try to steal away others' worth and dignity. In doing so, we lose, deny, or forfeit some of our own. And yet, at the most fundamental level, our failures do not make us unworthy. They do not render us undignified. We are all born this way, both flawed and worthy. Human beings are capable of just about any good and any evil. At some level, we are neither inherently good nor inherently evil, but have great capacity for both. And no matter how great our flaws, there is also always contained within every human the very essence of our humanity, our inherent worth and dignity, which gives us our capacity to give and receive love. It is that capacity that finally reconciles all people in the end to wholeness and to the source of all love. May it be so, and blessed be.